Well, our gospel lesson for today could hardly be called a pep rally. If you consider everything that Jesus says, it's not a promise of happy times and parties. It's kind of a terrifying prophecy of exclusion, of condemnation. It's a terrifying prophecy of betrayal by family and by friends. And if you are a student of history, you know that these words of Jesus did, in fact, come true on many, many occasions. But such is the nature of being the people of God. We don't really know what is coming, and so we try to be a little bit prepared for everything. I had recently been ordained in what used to be called Orange Presbytery up in Greensboro, North Carolina. And we had some conflicts going on, kind of like we have in the church at all times. And one pastor was just completely disillusioned, disappointed, and angry at his congregation. And so following the service one Sunday, in which he berated them for their manifold sins and shortcomings, he walked out of the sanctuary and took off his shoes and knocked the dust off of them and told them, "May it so be unto them as on the day of Sodom and Gomorrah." One of the happier times of Orange Presbytery. Let's not dwell too much on our gospel lesson for today, because hellfire and damnation just are not a note on the trumpet God gave me to play. My favorite passage of many, many is the one of Abraham and Sarah and the promise of the joy of a child. Abraham and Sarah have been on the road for a long time. It has been the long and winding road of, was it the Beatles who sang that? The long winding road? I don't know. You remember the song. Let's all sing it together. No, listen. Maybe next week with the choir. So they're settled in under the oaks of Mamre, under these great spreading trees. It's a good place to camp. There's water there. There is plenty of room for the flocks and the herds. And Abraham and Sarah sit by the campfire at night, and they remember the promises that God gave them of the land upon which they sat, and more land. And they were happy with the land. But God had also promised them descendants as the stars of the skies and the sands of the desert, and that just hadn't happened. And it is into this somewhat patient waiting one afternoon late that three visitors show up. And many scholars have said, well, this is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because there's three of them. Some people jump to those conclusions without really investigating things. I'm not so sure. But at that same time, there was a theory of Godhead, meaning a panoply of gods. And so it was thought, and especially since in Genesis God says, let us make humankind after ourselves, we have morphed into this monotheism, and we're happy where we are. So don't read too much into this. The three strangers come to the tent, the encampment, and Abraham demonstrates the Middle Eastern code of hospitality, which is a survival mechanism among people in those days. You depended upon hospitality to make it through the desert wastes. And so Abraham sees them coming, and he rushes out to greet them, and he says, "Lords, if I found favor in your sight, come and let me get a little bread and a little water for you to refresh yourselves, and then you can pass on your way." And then he prepares a feast. Did you not catch the humor in that piece of scripture? He rushes back into the tent and he tells Sarah, get 3 measures of the finest flour and knead it and make bread. He's telling Sarah how to cook, okay? And then he goes out and he gets a tender young lamb and he prepares it, and they're roasting the lamb and they've got all these different things that go along as side dishes. And there is literally a feast in the camp. A little water, a little bread. The guests thoroughly enjoy it. And then comes this cryptic saying, I'm going to be back in due season, and your wife Sarah will have had a child. It was hilarious. It was an absolute hoot. So funny that Sarah is inside the tent and kind of... You know how 100-year-old women laugh. Maybe you will. And they hear her. What is she laughing at? She's laughing at the idea of the baby being born in the geriatric unit of Hamilton Memorial, and Medicare is picking up the tab. It is a scream. And they ask, why did Sarah laugh? Everybody knows why Sarah laughed. Why are they asking that question? It's because they want to put Sarah on the spot in a gentle, loving way, the God-like way. Put Sarah a bit on the spot. Why did you laugh? And you can kind of see their faces as they're asking that question. In my mind's eye and in my soul's eye, those are faces beaming with love and compassion. Sarah, why did you laugh? I didn't laugh. Oh, yes, you did. Ah, one of the most refreshing stories in all of Scripture, especially in light of the fact that when they did come back in due season, Sarah had indeed had a child. Indeed, nothing is impossible for God. The problem we run into is that sometimes between when we receive the promise of God and we receive the realization of the promise of God, we have to travel a little ways. Like in our text from Romans today, suffering produces endurance, endurance produces hope, hope produces character. I always have a hard time with Romans 5. Suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, hope does not disappoint. Sometimes we've got to go down a path where we're going to experience all of that. And perhaps that is what Jesus is alluding to in our gospel lesson for today. But the real message here, I think, out of all of these 3 readings, is how we are to pack for the journey. I used to pack real light. It was a point of pride for me that I could go on a 2-week trip with an overnight bag. I knew how to pack that puppy. I had one of those vacuum things that sucks all the air out of a plastic package. And you can pack for a wedding if you have one of those things. You can just about squeeze a king-size mattress into an overnight bag if you know what you're doing. I don't travel light anymore. I have no pride anymore. I have very little shame. If I'm going overnight somewhere, I got one of those rolling trudge things that follows you behind. Because I not only have to pack clothes and spares and extra shoes, I've got to pack braces CPAP, all that cough drops. It is a major undertaking for me to go anywhere overnight. Vicki and I laugh about it. Ken's going on an overnight trip. Bring in the U-Haul camper. But Jesus says to the disciples, the apostles, who are, I'm pretty sure they're much younger than I am, don't take two tunics. Don't take a spare set of sandals. Don't take any money with you. That's one I would have a hard time with. I don't go out anywhere without my American Express. Thank you very much. So I have no copper or silver or gold. I've just got that little green card. That's all I need. Jesus says, pack light for the journey. And what he's talking about, I think, is not clothes. I think he's talking about the contents of our souls. I think part of the problem with people of faith these days is that we have packed too heavily of our expectations, our agendas, our preconceived notions, our thoughts about how it has to be. Excuse me. We live in a world of exploding pluralism. And every day it's a challenge to find out where truth might lie. Every day it is harder and harder to think about how things like AI, or as I like to call it, artificial disintelligence, are going to shape our lives. And they will. We are no longer in control of things. And guess what? We never really were. My boys talk about my growing up in the dark ages when there were only two pronouns, his'n and hern. And now we are challenged with that. Don't pack too much stuff, Jesus says. Accept the world as it is given to you. Accept the hospitality of the day. And if you find you can't do it, then maybe it's time to get off the road for a while and stop and think. Well, here we are, it's Father's Day, and I'm thinking back to my father and my grandfather, neither of whom were what anybody would call bastions of flexibility. They had their own minds made up. Daddy said, "You need to go into business like me." I said, "I don't feel called to go into business. I want to go into the Presbyterian ministry." He said, "You'll die of starvation." Obviously not. Every Christmas, he would give me two or three Brooks Brothers button-down shirts and matching ties, occasionally, if I'd been very good, a sport coat. And he said, "If you'd gone into business like I told you to, you could afford these things for yourself." I said, "I don't need to, because you give them to me every Christmas. I'm the best-dressed cat at the Presbytery meetings." We finally sorted all that out before he died. Yes, don't pack too much. On this holiday weekend, when we celebrate the end of slavery for our brothers and our sisters, don't pack too much. Don't bring too many expectations or agendas. Sit back and appreciate God's world as God gives it to us, and all of our children shall rejoice. Let us pray. Sometimes, Lord, we need to laugh like Sarah at the incredulity of life, and also at the miracles in which you break in to show us how you are already active and alive far beyond our expectations and agendas, and certainly far beyond our control. So help us to dance in the morning, and help us to love all the day long. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.